I'm Brad Hillwig, and this is Normalish, a podcast about the ways in which all of us are adapting our lives in real time to the COVID-19 global pandemic. Let's face it, most days are pretty routine, especially when the goal is to stay home as much as possible and keep away from other people. Each day, we wake up.
Hey, Leo.
We're gonna go outside.
Have breakfast, work from home if you can, get some fresh air, maybe try to exercise, check in with family, work on that one thing you've been avoiding, eat dinner, watch a little television.
What's more frightening, Joe Exotic's haircut or Carol Baskin on a bike?
Joe Exotic's haircut.
Go to bed. Wash, rinse, repeat. One day after the next. Waiting for life to return to normal.
Let's record this.
Recording. I can confirm recording.
And I've but got, for so many things during this global pandemic, there are simply no do-overs.
All right, let's go.
Moments in time that we can never get back.
Best thing to do is just kind of like start back to some of the things you were doing to help your parents out.
Moments that are altered and complicated by the fact that our lives have been changed by the threat of COVID-19. This is the story of one of those moments.
My plan was to pick up a lot of the weight and help mom. I knew that she was doing a lot with meals and just, you know, doing what she's done her whole life. It was just something that I felt I needed to do.
That's Todd Dean, a longtime friend. In late March, he was helping out his parents in their hometown of Anchorage, Alaska. Both were considered high risk for COVID-19. This is him back then.
I said, well, it's very challenging for me because my parents can't get out and they need their medications. Well, then I thought, man, is it even good for me to be running like out in the public? And let's say I did get it on my hand or something, and then I transmitted it to them.
Todd had been running errands so his parents could stay home.
At first, I was just doing it to do it so she could just relax. And then when COVID hit, it became a duty rather than just a thing to do. I kind of had to do it, and I was fine doing it.
He was spending a lot of time with his parents, too.
I know it's getting bad when I'm watching an episode of Bonanza, and I'm like, hey, that guy's the bartender in Gunsmoke.
And then one day in late March, while he was out, the phone rang.
I got a call from Dad saying Mom fell, and she wants you here. And I said, well, I'm on my way. And so really, I just sped up. I got here and she was laying on the floor right by the door. And there was a ladder that had knocked over the TV and she had fallen off of it. She was trying to change a battery in a fire detector. You get in a weird role as a son or, you know, any child to a parent where you're kind of reprimanding, but trying to do it lovingly. And I said, man, why didn't you guys call me? I'm 10 to 15 minutes away, no matter what.
Todd's mom, Lola, was hurt. She appeared to have an injury to her leg.
So I held an ice pack and on her hip and called the medics and they came in. And it really becomes real when you see the whole process in your home with paramedics. And even when I called 911, they were asking me about symptoms. Have I traveled? Do I have a fever? Am I congested or have I had a cold? All of those. So that was 911. And then the medics come in and one guy comes in and he kind of standing in the doorway asking the same questions.
Was he all masked up and everything?
Yes. He had a mask, gloves. All of them did. I think there were five total that ended up coming into the house.
Even though they'd been practicing careful social distancing to avoid the threat of COVID-19, there was no way around it. Lola would have to go to the hospital.
And then we asked the medics, like, how does this work with the COVID thing going on? And they said, you can't visit. Only patients can be there.
Hospitals across the country have put protocols in place to limit the number of people on site. The goal is to keep healthcare workers and patients safe during the pandemic and to do everything possible to minimize the spread of the coronavirus. Still, when a loved one is in the hospital, you want to be there.
At first was really, really hard. But then, you know, when you get on the phone with someone and they seem fine and you're kind of talking through their day and what they've gone through, We did that every day, a couple times a day, when she could.
Lola had surgery on her injured leg, which seemed to go well.
Now, she sounded tired, but good.
The next day, something changed.
It was 7:30 in the morning. They called me and said that she was being transferred to ICU. And I said, okay, but we didn't hear anything until 11. And that's when I called back and said, hey, can I talk to a doctor in ICU? Spoke to the doctor, and he really just said, no, she's going down quickly. And he said, you need to come down here. And, you know, even with that, I questioned. I said to him, I said, can I? Because you wouldn't know the protocol.
Being called to the hospital during a no-visitor policy was reason enough for concern.
I was making phone calls to my sister and just trying to let the people know that are closest to her that this was happening.
Todd and his father both went straight to the hospital.
When we got there, so the protocol there was, you know, of course, 6 feet, and they check your temperature, ask you the same questions the paramedics asked. You know, have you traveled? Do you have symptoms? These symptoms. And then I was escorted by a nurse with a mask and gloves to ICU. You know, Dad walked in and was talking to her. I was listening to the doctor, and really they were baffled. I said, you know, I'm going to ask the obvious question. is this related to the virus, the COVID virus? And he said, no, it's not. I asked them, is there any chance? And he said, no, she's going to pass. When I was a kid, Mom used to rub my eyebrows to put me to sleep. And she always told me that even when I came back here. And so that's what I did to her. It was silent. And, you know, I just kept talking to her until she passed away.
Lola Louise Dean, a loving wife and mother of four, stood just 4 feet 10 inches tall. Yet she lived so much larger in the hearts of those who knew her best.
She was a very strong woman, both mentally and physically, and at the same time, just really loving.
The challenge now for friends and family was to figure out how to properly celebrate her life during a global pandemic that included travel restrictions and mandates against group gatherings. The answer might just surprise you.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, sister, how are you?
Todd's sister Darla lives in Oklahoma City.
Mom and I, we pretty much talked. If it wasn't every day, it was about every other day.
It became immediately clear that traveling to Alaska after her mom's passing wasn't an option.
I wanted to go, just at least be there, and I still couldn't because of the fact that there's a 2-week quarantine once you're there. And if I was there, then when I got back, I'm in the medical field and I work in a clinic. Then there would be a 2-week quarantine for me once I got back to be able to even go back into the clinic. It just was impossible. I just felt so helpless.
COVID-19 had become a major roadblock. With restrictions on traveling and group gatherings, there was no easy way to have a traditional memorial service to celebrate Lola's life.
At first, you know, you're thinking, oh, as soon as possible, that's when I want to do it, to have closure. With everything that's going on in society, then you're thinking about, so you find out, well, how many people can be there? And they say 10. And you're like, oh, man. And then he said, well, if you're having a pastor, then it's 9, but also with our employees that will have to be there, you have 7 people that can be part of the ceremony. And I'm sitting there thinking, all right.
How do you pick and choose who gets to share in the celebration of a full and loving life?
With someone like Mom, she had people that loved her. And you find out more and more, the more you step into that person's shoes, how many people really, really loved her and how well she loved. So you start thinking about that and you're like, okay, how do these people become a part? How can they be a part of the celebration of who she was?
Todd and his family worked every angle, trying to find a way to hold a service for Lola despite restrictions from COVID-19.
You know, you're hopeful, I guess, is what it comes down to. So when I say things like, you know, why can't you do it outside? Why can't you have 20 people and have barriers? And you're hopeful. And that's where that's coming from, that this really does happen in a traditional way. And if it doesn't, you know, that's why you have a plan B. You always have to be thinking about other options.
It's fair to say that a lot of us are embracing Plan B more and more in the face of a global pandemic. You can't stop time for one of life's most pivotal moments, the loss of a mom, a wife, a friend.
Her soul and my mom is in heaven and she's happy now. But it's just, I guess, yeah, the closure and seeing my mom's things and get to touch them and smell them. That would be really sweet.
I mean, I still can't even say, you know, I can have closure on this.
And that lack of closure, that meant Todd and his family had to keep moving forward.
You have to pick a casket. You still have to go through the process of all of that stuff. A gravestone. Dad and I went to the funeral home with our masks and hand sanitizer. You know, you want input. So I'm sending pictures to my siblings. Everybody, you know, gives their input. And so we ended up picking a casket that way.
And there's this.
I like those two.
A video conferencing call to pick out Lola's gravestone together as a family.
I think they blend really well.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the color mom likes. Mom loves red. And it's got some of the pinkish.
Yeah, what they would do is just flip this and the angel would be, and the heart would be, just it'd be rotated like this. And then this would be over. So.
Yeah, that's a nice
one. Yeah, I really like that one too.
Todd and his family are holding out hope that Alaska's COVID-19 restrictions are loosened in time for a traditional memorial. They reserved June 19th, a date more than 2.5 months after Lola's passing, for a church service. Still, Plan B is in the works.
You have conversations with the church, and so behind the scenes, I'm trying to figure out how I could stream this live, record it, send links to people, and make it as virtual as I can. So that's what I'm doing behind the scenes while planning on hoping to have a ceremony with people that can actually be there.
But in the midst of all that planning, a realization. The celebration of Lola's life had already begun.
What is it?
Don't take your picture, man.
Okay, I'll just show the box.
I didn't even fix myself up.
I rewatched that video of her with the blanket.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
I'm so glad I recorded it. You know, I went against her wishes.
Oh, man, it's so precious. You could just tell she wasn't used to being just the center of attraction and spoiled, because she just acted and reminded me of a little kid opening their Christmas present.
Oh.
What is it?
Oh,
yeah. Todd and his sister Darla are talking about a video that was recorded in February of 2020. In it, Lola is opening a gift.
Me.
This was the first image I'd ever seen of her. She's small, with short brown hair and wire-rimmed glasses. Within just a few seconds, it's clear. She's gentle, innocent, and genuine. You can hear it all in her voice.
He did blanket. That's what I needed.
No. I think Darla got it for you.
No.
I mean, me. Oh, I'm so good. Yeah, Darla got it for you.
Aw, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Here's your utensils.
Dad, you look happy too.
It was so precious. Thank you for recording that, because, yeah, she just looked so precious. I was just laughing and just almost like tears of joy.
You want the pomp and circumstance, but you don't need it. You don't have to go through that. If you're really honoring a person, you're going to honor them in your thoughts and in your mind.
And it turns out you also honor them by connecting with the people they touched, which is exactly what Todd did.
Hello?
Hey, Lorraine, how are you?
Oh, hi, Todd.
Gathering memories and stories from those closest to Lola, just to listen and to celebrate the love she gave, right here, right now, with or without a traditional memorial.
How did I meet her? We met in an exercise place, and we've been friends ever since, and we used to go there a couple, three times a week. And she was so easy to make friends with. We'd go into a restaurant, and no matter what it was, she'd make a conversation with the waitress, and before we walked out of there, you'd think we were old friends. She was so, had such just a nice personality and everything about her.
Hello.
Hey, I told my sister about our conversation, then I saw your Facebook post, and I loved it. Literally, I hit the heart. You met Mom when we were teenagers, and you'd come over to the house a lot.
She always made me feel welcome. One of those people that you meet first time, and you feel as though they've known you forever. In my household, you know, my dad was working all the time, and I didn't have much of a relationship with him. And then my mom could be very judgmental and kind of all over the place. Your mom was very, very easy to talk to. She was an adult, obviously, but she didn't talk down to us. I loved talking to her. I could tell her anything.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you there?
Mm-hmm. I think my memory of Grammy is really just remembering somebody who was always ready to take care of anybody, no matter who they were.
Yeah, that's something she used to always say, you're special.
I think that was like the biggest thing that I learned from her, is just to treat everyone that way. Because I remember she would always say it to everyone. That was something she always made sure that everyone knew, is that they were special to her. And I think that was a beautiful part of herself to give to people.
She just felt like one of my friends. Like, I never like thought of her always like as a Grammy, but she did have that protective nature. So I guess that's why I feel like I stayed so close with her throughout like the years.
She was like the most kind and loving woman that I've ever met. And that she was always so much, she's always fun. And she always just, I don't know, she just cares so much.
When her and I started like going to the cake decorating class together shortly after Mom passed away, and we wanted to go do something together. Going to that with her was fun, and like we would go and we'd go walk around Michael's and go pick out all the little things, and we'd go to the cake decorating class, and she was so creative, and like mine was like really basic. And like I was like, okay, I can make snowflakes. And like hers was all like super perfect and stuff, and I was like thinking, oh wow. And she's like, it's okay, like yours is super great. And I just felt good doing things like that with her, because I didn't always get to do stuff like that with Mom. I felt like she was always there for me. And on Mom's birthday, I wrote, hey Grammy, I just wanted to send you a text letting you know thinking of you today on Mom's birthday and how grateful I am to have you in my life. I love you so, so much. And she said, I sure love you too, honey. And you always have a special place in my heart. I looked up to heaven and said, happy birthday to Brenda. I am so glad you let me know you love me lots.
She talked about you guys all the time, yeah. When you were growing up and stuff, and she had pictures. She brought some pictures one time to lunch with us. Riches were all dressed up, and Robert was dressed up. Your mother was a lovely lady, too. I seen pictures of her wedding and stuff, too, you know, when she was younger. And she was... They made a really nice-looking couple, I think, yeah. But, yeah, she used to talk about you all the time.
High school memories really aren't all that great. I think for a lot of us, you know, I was pretty miserable, but it wasn't all bad, you know. I had your mom to talk to, so I'll always remember that. Very genuine, very kind-hearted person.
I'll never forget her as long as I live. She's in my thoughts day and night. I lay in bed sometime at night and think about the things we used to do or say when we went out to lunch and stuff like that. Wish that she was still there.
I did speak with her the night before she went into surgery, and it was one of the best conversations that I've had with Mom. She was so giggly. We just had such a wonderful time talking. We just talked about just goofy. I mean, we were laughing nonstop, and it was so cute. The nurses were exchanging reports in her room, and then she told me, she goes, "Yeah, they think I'm sweet." And then I said, "Because you are." And she said, "I've got them fooled." And I just started laughing, like, "Oh, Mama, you know you're sweet." One of my favorite things was giving her a kiss and hug. I mean, her cheek, I can't even describe how soft it felt. And I've never kissed anybody on the cheek that it felt like my mom. And that's exactly what it is. It's my mama. It was just like my mom's cheek. It's just such a memory. And the smell of her, what it just always smelled good. It was so awesome. Just wonderful. Just a wonderful woman.
Mom's faith was her life. In every action, every choice, decisions, how she loved people, how she was humble, it was all because of her faith. In her marriage, in how she treated her kids, her friends, strangers in the street, she followed what the Bible said. I just know she lived it.
If it seems like you know Lola after listening to this, it's because in so many ways you probably do.
But I can tell you this.
A mother.
Mom loved all of her kids really well.
A friend.
I knew right away that I was going to like Lola.
A mentor.
She had a big piece in my heart.
A listener. A laugher. A hugger. Someone who brings people together, no matter what.
And so what you're hearing is these really great moments that just support what you already know. You know, some people say, you know, she had the most sparkly eyes. Like three people said that to me. And then Danielle, my niece, and my sister Darla, they just want her pajamas and smell her. So she touched so many people in different ways, and what they feel about her and what they saw in her. And, you know, at first it was hard, but the more you talk, the more you realized that this is a life to celebrate. And so through the virtual process of that, it's really a great healing tool to hear stories about someone, especially when it reinforces all of these great things about her.
Most days are pretty routine. You get up, you go through the day, you go to bed. But what makes those days special are people like Lola, the ones who fill them with kindness, joy, and love. That sweetness of life you carry with you forever.
You're celebrating someone that just loved really well. And no matter who she ran into, she loved. And so you think about that, and she wouldn't let the virus affect anything and who she was. And it, really, it's a lesson, because what she left behind is just being a good person and very loving and kind. And if you leave that behind, you're going to be celebrated every day.
Next time on Normalish, the countdown is on.
You're having your first baby during a global pandemic, so of course the anxiety level is going to be a bit higher.
Victoria and I prepare for a very big day at a very unusual time. This episode of Normalish was produced in coordination with Todd Dean. I just want to say a very heartfelt thank you to Todd, Darla, and their entire family. It's not easy to open up and talk about a loss as big as this. So hopefully in some small way, this recording captures what a bright light Lola was and just how many people she touched. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for the opportunity to share this story, and I'm so very, very sorry for your loss. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.